Daily's dirty.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
I see you, Ahmed Thompson. I see you, baby. Put that dagger in them old Celtics last night, man. Hey, them Rockets are out there doing things that, really, hey, I heard it last night. Ain't nobody doing. That run that they've had against, who was it? Was it the Cavs and the Celtics? And who was the other team?
They got two against the Grizzlies a couple weeks ago, and they got two against the Cavs, and they beat the Celtics. The most wins against 30-win teams.
Those doing that, rattling that right there off, beating five teams of that ilk in a season, first time it's ever been done. Heard Ackerman last night talking about that. And in Rockets, baby, they're fun to watch now. I was glued to that damn thing last night. And when the getting got good, I had to record it and go put a baby to sleep. And I didn't look at the score. I just came right back in there. And Tyler, I didn't even look and see if I'd won that old bet that you threw out there, Chief.
I did.
Yeah, I picked another good one. Yes, I did. Riding O'Tyler's coattails, baby. But the Rockets, come on, man. I'm good and excited about that. I'm dead ass serious, man. Tyler, get some tickets, man. Let's go to the game.
No, I think we should, especially with this heater I got going on.
Yes, indeed. Hey, look, I always like to start my 4 o'clock segment with telling y'all about that Odyssey app now. And I'd greatly appreciate it if y'all would download the Odyssey app. I've been telling y'all that for years. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not just asking you to do it anymore. I'm giving you all the incentive that you could possibly want or need to download the damn Odyssey app and listen to Sports Radio 610, right? Starting yesterday, which was Monday, January the 27th, through February the 23rd, all right? So roughly a month right there. What you got to do, what you need to do, download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to Sports Radio 610. All right, be honest with you. You can listen to any participating Odyssey station if you'd like. I prefer you listen to Sports Radio 610 right here. Keep us on your hip. Take us with you, right? Every day that you listen for 60 minutes, you get an entry. Now, look, all this is if you listen to us for 20 minutes, you got to get out of your car, just turn the volume down on your phone. Don't exit the app. Just turn the volume down. And then when it comes back time, turn the volume back up, baby. You see what I'm saying? It's that easy. I'm just trying to help you win here. I'm all about winning.
Clint found a loophole.
I'm giving winning advice right here.
I think you just go ahead and listen for 60.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you can listen for 60, cool. But I'm just telling you to be smart. If you got a 20-minute commute home every day, put the damn Odyssey app on there. Listen to Sports Radio 610. Turn that old volume down when you get home. Deal with your babies. Deal with your wife. And then turn it off. Boom. There's your entry to win this ridiculous prize pack that I'm fixing to tell you about. Every day you listen for 60 minutes, you get an entry. All right? Here's the prize. Travel and accommodations for not just you, but you plus three guests. That's four total. Travel and accommodation to Las Vegas, baby. $5,000 for each guest. That's $20,000 total to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. I've been to Vegas many a time, the first round of the college basketball championships, and I'm telling you, unless you're going out there hunting, which there's still some hunting to be done, no doubt about it, it's Vegas. But unless you're going out there hunting, if you want to go gamble, you want to watch a little basketball, you want to hang with the fellas, hey, man, this is the weekend to do it. Big time, big time, big time. You'll be traveling March 17 through 22. The prize does not include any game tickets or any entry to events, right? You can use that $5,000 for that we're going to give each one of you four to get over there, get to Vegas. If you want to buy tickets, you can use that $5,000. But that's what Sports Radio 610 is doing for you right there.
There it is.
Download the Odyssey app, log in, listen to Sports Radio 610 every single day that you do that. Between January the 27th and February the 23rd, you will get one entry into this contest. Again, travel and accommodations, $5,000 for each guest, with up to four of y'all to Las Vegas for the college basketball championship. March 17 through 22 would be the travel dates. You get it done, Hey, tell your three partners, whoever the hell you'd be traveling to Vegas with, tell them about it. Get them listening to Sports Radio 610.
We're going to Las Vegas.
Come on, download the Odyssey app and make sure each one of them are doing it as well. One of y'all win, boom, all four of y'all can go. Just make it happen. Just make it happen. Circle
text
back.
Line. Text line coming in, listening to the Odyssey app right now.
Come on, get 60 Cha-ching. Minutes in. Get 60 minutes in. Right? Boss walks in, just turn the volume down. Don't shut it off. I'm telling you. It's the way to go now. All right, real quick. Guys, there are, this is ridiculous. Very rarely do I come across a stat that, one, I care to talk about on air, but two, that blows my damn mind. This one, I know a lot of folks out there right now, Tyler being one of them, you don't have time to hear anything about Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs right now, but I would suggest that you
I'll take a listen
that you tune into this. You'll like this, Ron. I don't know. Tell me if you know where I'm going with this.
Hi, ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Since 2001, there have been 125 drives in the NFL in the playoffs of this sort. You're down a touchdown or less. There's 1 minute or less left in the fourth quarter. There's been 125 of these drives. You need a touchdown to win it, a field goal to tie it, a touchdown to tie it. This is to either win or go to overtime to keep your hopes alive. There's been 125 of these drives. Tom Brady was 5 of 11, slightly under 50%. Drew Brees was 3 of 6.
Another Hall of Famer.
50%. Tyler, any guess on what you think Pat Mahomes is?
I have a feeling it's going to be a large number.
Tyler, Pat Mahomes is 7 for 7. He is perfect. Ball in the fourth quarter, less than a minute to go, needs a touchdown, field goal to tie or win.
Including 13 seconds.
Refs do look out in those game, those really important, moments of the game like that. That makes sense.
I knew.
Thank God for him.
Since 2001, 125 drives. Pat Mahomes is perfect, man.
No, that's amazing.
When I heard that, I mean, the level of greatness, like I wouldn't have thought that. I mean, Ron, you, obviously you know the team intimately. I wouldn't have guessed
7 for 7, but now if I wreck my brain to think of the, and this is postseason, I'm guessing.
Yes, all postseason.
To wreck my mind, he's only lost 3 games, so it's not been a lot of times they haven't come through. That's crazy.
I mean, 7 for 7, that's wild, man. I mean, that is the perfection, the clutch, just the get it done mentality of Pat Mahomes. We talked about this a few weeks ago with Pat Mahomes. It's like, I just think, obviously, the dude's great and gets all the stroke that everybody could possibly give him. I don't see anybody out there doubting Pat Mahomes and his ability, right? But there's so much to talk about with Pat. Like, the part that to me is one of the most impressive is just the willingness to do whatever it takes to get it done. Run with your feet, extend plays and make throws. I mean, obviously he's done it on time and in rhythm as well. I mean, the dude is just that stat was thrown there. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
My man's been in the league 7 years as a starter. His worst finish in a season is overtime in the AFC Championship game.
Mm.
That's his worst finish twice. Happened twice.
Pretty damn good run right there, man. And it's not over yet. So we will see what's happening. You're listening to Sports Radio 610. I'm Clint Stern alongside Ron Ugly. T. Meal is behind the glass. By the way, why don't you give your boy a follow on social media at Clint Sterner. Instagram and on Twitter. Won't you give The Drive a little follow? Make sure you're following Sports Radio 610. Ron, what is yours now that you changed the show?
Real Ron the Show.
Real Ron the Show on all on T-Mill.
At T-Mill Real Deal.
Yeah, go on, follow everybody on social media, man. Let's get this thing ramped up and rolling, huh? right, Ron, there has been six hires around the NFL, six new coaches around the NFL. The Saints have not hired anybody yet. Mm. I was asked this question yesterday, and it would trigger a pretty good conversation.
I think that was the worst job of them all yet.
The Saints? Yeah, I mean, situation it damn sure is. I mean, I've heard, I don't have all the numbers off the top of my head, but boy, the cap space and all that goes into what the Saints are right now, that is the worst job without a doubt. But the Patriots, they hired Mike Vrabel. The Jets hired Aaron Glenn. The Jags hired Liam Cohen. The Raiders, old school, old head Pete Carroll. Cowboys, Brian Schottenheimer, O'Shotty. The Bears, Ben Johnson, the number one, most people say the number one, coach out there that was going to be in this cycle of coaches. Ben Johnson goes to the Bears, and as I just mentioned, the Saints have not hired a head coach yet. We'll keep you posted on that. I was asked this question, Ron. I wonder what your take is. Who do you believe is ultimately the quickest to succeed in this group? Now, you can define succeed however you might. I mean, obviously, Brian Schottenheimer has the better team in the Cowboys after winning, you know, a ton of, when they're healthy, you know, being a double-digit win team. But just which one of these hires do you believe is a longer term, or the best longer term hire in the bunch?
Longer term, I think it's both. I think longer term and short term to me is Mike Vrabel with the Patriots.
You like that one?
Now I think Buffalo is clearly a better team, but the best team in that division. They do have a Super Bowl contender in their division. I think honestly the Jags would probably be second too, with what they have there, and their division is not as tough. But right now the Patriots and Vrabel, and you think about how Vrabel and what he's done with less at Tennessee, you know, can he get himself to second place in that division? Can he get himself over the Jets, who are struggling or on this list, and the Dolphins? I think so, and could that put him in a place from being in the playoffs? Drake May is a promising young player. They've got some guys there. So I think that, and then the Jags because of the division they're in. And
Duval.
Until I hear that. But then.
Yeah, man, it's just rough, man.
The other ones, like the Bears, are in that tough division with the Packers, Lions, and Vikings, the Cowboys. Okay, and then the Jets, like they seem like they're a little further from getting there. They don't have the quarterback, I don't think. And you know, the Raiders still have some stuff, and they're stuck in the division with the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Broncos. So to me, I think it's the Patriots with the Jags behind.
Ron, I think I'm going to go with one you didn't mention much there. I really like Aaron Glenn.
Do you?
And by the way, this just dawned on me. This is not an attempt to make my Super Bowl pick and MVP pick from last year come true a year later, by the way. I just thought of that. I was like, boy, this sounds like
my Super Bowl pick and MVP pick are still alive.
Who were they?
Chiefs and Josh Allen.
Well, Josh isn't alive.
He's alive for the MVP.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
He's alive for the MVP. It's either going to be him or Lamar.
I like Aaron Glenn, boys. I don't know if y'all caught any of his introductory press conference or any of his comments. And the ones that are obviously making the rounds are the ones about Aaron Rodgers. I like Aaron Glenn in New York and the Jets.
It's a great Aggie.
Well, the fact that he's an Aggie is well down the list, but he is a local guy. So
I think so, but...
Well, no, I love his...
down the list.
It seems like the way he's handling New York just off the rip seems to be legit. I love the fact that he just witnessed one of the best turnarounds that we've ever seen in a place that nobody thought a turnaround could be accomplished in Detroit. I love, obviously, the former player aspect of this thing. I like his response, getting hammered about Aaron Rodgers and making it very clear. He didn't come out and say Aaron's not going to be here. Aaron's got another year on his contract with the Jets, obviously. He didn't come out and say he's not going to be here, but he made it very clear this is not about Aaron. This is about us building the best roster that we possibly can. You know, that he mentioned, you know, I think at some point sitting down with Aaron and figuring out what's next kind of deal. And I do think Aaron played really good football the last half of the season. Aaron played really good football. Now, attribute that to health or whatever. I don't know what you attribute that to, but he played really good football. I think there's a chance that the having Aaron Rodgers at your disposal, or at least as an option, to me could be what sets him apart from some of these other jobs. And I think that roster, as we've talked about multiple times, particularly on the defense side of the football, the Jets roster is just, they're ready to win right now. They're ready to be elite right now. And so I like the Jets in this list.
Yeah, my thing is, he's still, like, I don't, like, for me, I'd be surprised. I don't even know surprised. I'm leaning more towards them probably not running with Aaron.
Right.
And so, to me, he's got two tough decisions that he has to make and hit on. Because I think Aaron Glenn has a chance to be a hell of a coach. But if you don't get the quarterback situation right as a defensive coach, like, it don't matter. Like, I think Robert Saleh looks a lot better if he drafted Jaden Daniels. Like,
yeah.
I think things here would be feeling and talked a lot differently if C.J. Stroud wasn't drafted, obviously. And I think the thing with D'Amico would be different. So he's got to get the OC right, and he's got to get the quarterback. Because it's one thing if you are the one that's working with the quarterback, but he's got to find the right quarterback and the right OC.
Well, and that's the thing. They're drafting at 7, right? And so I don't know what they're going to do with 7. They could always move up. But this is a perfect draft for the Jets to draft the third or fourth quarterback and go with and have another Zach Wilson situation up in New York, right? And so I like the fact that coupled with a poor quarterback draft, he does have the option to go with Aaron if need be. And it looks like, again, because I agree wholeheartedly, like, this can't be, we're going to hire Aaron's offensive coordinator, we're going to bring Aaron's receiver in, we're going to, hey, Aaron, do you want to be here, whether Lazard and damn, my mind just went blank, Taco Bell,
Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams, yeah, if Devontae Adams are, do you want to be here if those guys, like, it's a pretty easy conversation, I think, and I trust Aaron Glenn to have that one. I like the options that they have, and that division, as you mentioned, outside of Buffalo, man, there's some teams that can be got. So I like Aaron Glenn and the Jets in that list there.
All right, we'll see. They all of them got some jobs to do, and the tough thing for them is now expectations have jumped, because we've watched teams be able to turn it around in 1 year. Hell, Washington went to the NFC Championship game for the first time since 91. So expectations running high. All right, want to get to news that we're hearing out of Houston about the Rockets and a potential move they can make. But before that, we're hearing the latest OC news. We have another person interviewing for the gig. We'll let you know who that is next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, some news to pass along. As we know, the Houston Texans are in search of a new offensive coordinator, since now the alleged fiery, hard-ass Bobby Slowick has been removed.
Well done.
The alleged hard-ass, fiery
crazy
Bobby
son
Slowick.
Of a bitch.
I'm telling you, he's old red-ass Bobby. They moved on from him, and they're in search for a replacement. We've heard that there's an interview set to be earlier this week. I would imagine yesterday or today, with Gerard Johnson, the quarterback coach. You said the Syracuse OC?
Yes.
I guess that.
Yes, Syracuse he reportedly OC interviewed.
Interviewed as well. There is a latest. What's the latest, Tyler Milner?
Yes, sir. A new candidate for the Texans OC job. He's entered the chat. Ian Rappaport reports on this Tuesday afternoon that Buccaneers quarterback coach Thad Lewis has interviewed for the OC job in Houston. Rappaport also says Lewis has received several requests for OC interviews, but this is the first one that he has taken. Houston obviously moved on from Bobby Slowick last week. And also, just a quick note for all of our listeners and you two gentlemen over there. Thad Lewis started his coaching career working with Chip Kelly as an offensive analyst. If you want to start to try to piece those, put those puzzle pieces together.
Yeah, Thad Lewis, old quarterback. Now that I see him, remember at Duke, he put together, he got himself 7-8 good years in the league as a backup.
Yeah, looks like I remember the name.
Remember Thad?
Absolutely. Yeah.
As you said, started at UCLA as an offensive analyst. He was an intern with the Bucks, moved up wide receivers coach, quarterbacks coach, and now looks like is the latest to be set to interview for this this gig. Your thoughts?
Again, another to me underwhelming. And just you know, I understand you got to have a thorough interview, but if we're talking resumes, to me this is, if you're going to take a step up from Bobby Slowick, it needs to be somebody that's got pelts on the wall in the league and somebody that's proven that they can. They don't just know ball, and they can coach a quarterback, but literally, they know how to handle it all. They know how to manage, you know, $20+ million offensive linemen. They know how to handle, you know, $12+ million a year tight ends that need a kick in the ass in terms of being more physical. They know how to handle, obviously the X's and O's, the planning, designing, play calling, the managing a game. There'd be a lot of wait and see with the majority of these candidates that are being mentioned at this point in time.
Yeah. Obviously, maybe he is a name that's really, a lot of people are really talking about in NFL mm-hmm. circles. I would imagine this would feel like either more of somebody to hire and someone to interview and maybe get to know a little bit more. And hey, if he blows your socks off, okay, there's something there, or somebody at hire, maybe for another position, but I would imagine him already being in Tampa, who there, you know, as a quarterback's coach there. I don't know that he would maybe leave for that gig, but it just feels like this, if this would be the hire, it would be a hire of somebody that also doesn't have experience coming in, calling plays. And it feels like this is a job much more like Kellen Moore took in Philly, to where there's expectations to be off and running and not like, oh man, you got some time to kind of build this thing in, right? Like there's expectations.
I would think that
what you have
at the end of the day, the situation with the Houston Texans is you've had two promising years across the board with C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, D'Amico Ryans. You've had two promising years, right? You've chewed up 2 years of the advantage, the huge advantage from a cap perspective of having a quarterback playing at a very, very high level while he's on a rookie deal, right? We're getting into that time period where you are going to lose that advantage pretty quickly down the road here. And I would think if I'm Bobby Slowick if I'm D'Amico Ryans, that losing that advantage where you've got several players that are playing on rookie deals that are impacting games, instead of wasting years, or potentially wasting years with a play caller that's never done it and you don't know, there's no tangible evidence of what they're capable of doing. Wasting a year or two on that guy seems like that is a much bigger risk than just hiring an offensive coordinator. I mean, because whoever you hire this go-round, whoever the Houston Texans hire this go-round at the offensive coordinator position is going to be the last person that's going to coach this offense with the advantage of having C.J. Stroud on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, right?
And then you'll have to, because he's going to get paid big time, probably 60 million plus per year. Now you got to try to figure out how to do more with less.
Yep. How you going to do it, right? It becomes a different, it becomes a different battle, a different dynamic offensively at that point in time. So, to me, with that being said, this hire, I mean, like, to me, this hire needs to be somebody, and I'll use Chip Kelly just because Chip Kelly keeps getting brought up. I mean, it's, but just whether it's Chip Kelly or not is irrelevant to me.
Chip Kelly, we've heard Doug Peterson. I get what you're saying.
But Ron, this hire for the Houston Texans needs to be a guy that has pelts on the wall. There's tangible evidence of what he can do in real time as an offensive play caller in the NFL. I'll add to that. This hire should be someone, not that he needs it, but that it is an advantage. It should be someone that has head coaching experience that can be a resource for D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, if and when need be. Right? It needs to be someone that brings more to the table than a hope and a prayer that they are average to above average to great calling plays at the NFL level. They need to hire somebody that it's more than a hunch if I think this guy could be good because of all that's at stake. You are a two-time 10-win football team that is stuck in the division round with a rookie quarterback. I'm sorry, with a quarterback on a rookie deal. It's time to take the next step. It's not time to be patient. It's not time to play wait and see. I firmly believe that if you've got the ability, you got to go get somebody that brings more to the table than a hope and a prayer.
Yeah. Someone texted in. I understand they got to interview a lot of people, but just interviewing dudes that they ain't gonna hire just annoys me. I don't think they're going to hire him. I'd be surprised. I feel like they're going to go more the route you're talking about. But
well, look, I mean, I don't have a problem with interviewing all these guys. I think there's, if I were in their shoes, I would interview all these guys, and it wouldn't be to meet the Rooney rule or whatever. I would interview these guys with the hopes of adding them to my staff at some point in time. I want to find a few guys that aren't qualified to be head coaches. Hell, that really aren't qualified to be offensive coordinators, whatever the qualifications are, right? And down the road, hey, man, like Eric Bieniemy. He's on the streets right now, isn't he? I'm sure he's probably a consultant somewhere if he wanted to be. But like,
yeah, he's interviewing like, for jobs.
I want to meet with Eric Bieniemy because, I don't know Eric Bieniemy personally. But I'd be willing to bet you that it would be tremendous to have him as a position coach if he were willing to take that job, if he didn't get offered an offensive coordinator job, to have him in some role on this team. I would imagine
running backs coach
something.
Maybe they're being sneaky and they're putting together the OC to be Chip Kelly's staff underneath him, because the OC out of Syracuse they interviewed yesterday had ties to Chip Kelly. Thad Lewis has ties to Chip Kelly.
But then you get into these guys, though, T, for me, like the OC at Syracuse. Like, why would he leave Syracuse as an OC job? Those guys are making, I mean, I bet he's making damn near $1 million as a play caller in college. And why would he come down? But your point, I think, is valid, just not about that guy, right? I mean, like, I do think there's some you know, like Thad. Like
would he leave Tampa as a quarterback?
To come work
coach
with C.J. Stroud.
And maybe him and Chip are just real bros.
Right, right. Yeah, now something like that. Yeah, the point is I don't have a problem with him interviewing all these guys. You know, I hope there's a method to the madness, which I'm sure there is with D'Amico.
Well, that doesn't help the Gerard thing.
And I'm going to be honest with you, I hope that's not the route that the Texans take.
All right, there was some news on the Texans. There is some news on the Rockets as well. I think this is news that they damn well better be looking at, having conversations, and Ben had conversations about. Don't know if it's the move to make, but it is an interesting one. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Well, somebody texted in, what about Mike McCarthy? No, I pass.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Like, I don't mind the guy that has some head coaching experience, but not Mike McCarthy. I don't think Mike McCarthy would be my answer for the OC job.
No.
Nah, I can't. I mean, the Cowboys ain't had no discipline. They have been awful in game management situation. Yeah, nah, I'm all set on that.
What's your
hard
point?
Pass. Hard pass. There are other guys though that have been play callers that have lost their gigs, places. That I'd be on. But that one to me, it. We'll see where they go. We'll see where they go on this thing.
Well, you know, too, the other thing, Ron, that there is going to be like one working with CJ Stroud. Right, is a huge plus versus going somewhere where you don't have any clue who you're going to get. Number one. Number two, the ability to come here and be the offensive coordinator for a defensive-minded head coach is a huge plus, right? I mean, under Kyle Shanahan, what's their offensive coordinator doing under Sean McVay? Now I know that their offensive coordinators have gone on to get jobs, but what have they done? What the kid that was at Oklahoma State, Robinson or whatever, Robinson?
He's in Atlanta.
Yep. He left there and went to Atlanta under a defensive minded head coach, right? So there's, whether you look at it from the CJ Stroud perspective or you look at it from the perspective of having really full autonomy to the offense. And being the dude and having it done your way and hiring your own staff, like that's another huge plus for the Texans situation as well. So that's why I look at it of like, it wouldn't shock me one bit if you went out there and stole an offensive coordinator from a university that just won a national championship. Right? It wouldn't shock me one bit if you couldn't go somewhere, and I don't have the guy off the top of my head, but if you went somewhere where there was an offensive-minded head coach and you yanked the offensive coordinator that just has a title that's done it before out from underneath him. Like, there's – D'Amico, I'm sure, has as many, if not more, options than anybody in the NFL with a vacancy.
Yeah, it does feel like – because some of the coaches that
have – Leftwich.
Yeah, Byron's out there. I've seen that name run up. I don't even know where Byron is. He just lost out on his chance to be a head coach. I don't know where Byron is. But yeah, he's another one who's running offense and was for a defensive coach. Or no, did he hit Bowles? Was he with Bowles? Or maybe he was just with.
You're right. He was with Arians because he won a Super Bowl.
But he ran the offense. He ran a lot of the offense. I mean, with Tom. But he ran a lot of the offense. He seemed to be the guy in Jacksonville several years ago. But there are guys there, but. Chip is starting to make a little bit more sense. All right, let's get here with the Rockets. This is some news coming out of the Rockets, one of the hottest teams in basketball. They have kicked off a lot of shows. They kicked off Get Up this morning. They kicked off NBA Today. They've kicked off a lot of shows today. A big talking point, their big W against the Celtics, one of many here against really good teams. But this is some news coming out. De'Aaron Fox, point guard. We've heard that name connected with the Rockets a little bit. The Kings have reopened talks with potentially moving on and trading him. He's one of the best young point guards in the game. Chris Mannick, who is a big-time NBA reporter, I believe at Yahoo, he says the team to watch with De'Aaron Fox is Houston. The Rockets have a team option on Fred VanVleet for next season and could entice the Kings with young players and the coveted Suns draft picks. He said he had just taped a pod earlier and talked about the Rockets likely playing out the season with what they got, but there are a couple of guys that could change that stance. Devin Booker of the Suns is one. De'Aaron Fox strikes him as another. So, those of you out there, you've been watching the Rockets, you've been enjoying watching this team together. Fred VanVleet is somebody who has been a big part of this team. Hell, Clint, you've talked about enjoying watching him and his calming influence on the court.
Yep.
De'Aaron Fox, I'm telling you, for me, if I ain't got to give up Amen Thompson and one of Shingun and Green, especially Shingun, if I could keep Amen Thompson and Shingun and get De'Aaron Fox, whoo. That one's a hard one to turn down. That one is a heart because I think he is one of the best young players in basketball. You pair him with Thompson. You pair him much more consistent than Jalen Green. That he's got playoff experience. Went to Game 7 when he was a number one against the Kings. He would be somebody that would be a really, really good thought to get if you don't have to give up one of those front lines. They're talking about Amen Thompson. They go to hell. But other than
Yeah. It's interesting. I'll yield to you, man. I don't know enough about De'Aaron Fox and to damn sure to get into, you know, what kind of value the Rockets would have to give up to get him. But I'm just going to tell you, man. I really like De'Aaron Fox. He's just been one that I don't know why in the hell he's on my radar. Remember or has been Kentucky. On my radar.
Yeah,
absolutely,
yeah.
Man.
He's at 25, 5 rebounds, 6 assists per.
Yeah. I could get down for that. I mean, look, I've been talking about it from jump. You mentioned it earlier. It's just, to me, it's 3 through 8. They've got that lick. The hell, it's deeper than 8 at this point in time, if we're being honest. So, yeah, I mean, I would be A-okay with them making some aggressive moves and bringing in guys that, either one of those guys, obviously, Booker or De'Aaron Fox, but guys like that take this organization to the next level or at least theoretically take the organization to the next level, yeah, I'm in.
Someone text in, breaking up this team in any way, additions or subtractions will be a huge mistake. The Rockets need to leave the roster alone so they can shock the world and win a ring.
You know, I disagree.
Yeah,
I do think
I don't think it's crazy what they're saying. I did
2 weeks ago. I thought that was nuts.
Now if this was Devin Booker, I would think you're insane. But De'Aaron Fox right now, I'm not saying it's crazy.
Right.
I get where you're coming from.
But on that front, Ron, I do think, regardless of who it is, I do think that young nucleus, that young core, however you want to couch it, what M.A. Doka has built, I do think he has to protect what they've built. In other words, if any of these guys aren't good fits, if they're not, like D'Amico talks about, Nick talks about, if they're not Rocket kind of guys, then no thank you. You know, I don't know how bulletproof this team is relative to keeping the culture, if you will, the chemistry, if you will. I don't know how bulletproof that is. I know it's super special what I'm watching. I don't know how bulletproof it is right now. No. So I do think M.A. Doka has to protect it from a standpoint, bring in a superstar that's going to be a one or a two, and that guy not be bought in the way everybody else is bought in, you could risk screwing this whole thing up. But assuming these guys are M.A. Doka kind of guys, then I disagree wholeheartedly.
And De'Aaron Fox is not shown to be a guy that's going to come in. We're watching what Jimmy Butler's doing right now. That's he's old anyway, but that's something you damn sure don't want to do. But to say it would be a mistake to break up this roster for the chemistry. Yeah, man. Yeah, I understand. Like, hey, man, the Warriors, man, they grew it. Yeah. It sure is easier to grow that damn thing when you got Steph.
Yeah, they hit on a couple.
Right, like
they hit on a couple.
And listen,
Hall of
I think Amen is starting to be the guy and has a chance to be the guy. But
I feel like Kobe.
But like we can talk about chemistry, and then you talk about getting some dudes, right? Like, and I get what you're saying, Clinton. I get, as again the texter who texted in, I don't think I'm not calling your thoughts crazy, or get out of here, kick rocks with open toe sandals. I'm not saying that. I understand where you're coming from. But the NBA is about getting dudes. Like, they can have all the chemistry they want to, and it can work, but it's going to have a ceiling, right? Like, your chemistry, like OKC, they got great chemistry. They might have the league MVP in SGA right now, right? They got, and I mean right now. I think Amen's got a chance to grow into that. You got a chance to get. Somebody said, "Hell no, on Booker, man! You are crazy as all get out." Devin Booker, man, shoot, Jalen Green, boy, I'd send Jalen on with Fred. Now you tell me, hey man, you gonna give up Jalen and Fred, and I'm getting back De'Aaron Fox to go with this crew? Oh yeah, yeah. I think you're putting yourself not only just for this year, but in the past. I mean, I'm in the past. I'm sorry. In the future.
Right.
To be really good. I mean, De'Aaron has just turned 27. A really, really, really good player with playoff experience that can go get his own bucket and is an ascending player. So I get what you're saying. There are certain players. I know Şengün, and you said it earlier, that would be a tough one to roll past. And I get that. But in this case, especially if you got the guard, and you got a guard and a big.
Yeah. And well, it seems like, Ron, like to me, bringing in a guy that complements whatever you have left, like whatever pieces don't walk out the door, like if it's just a replacement, then it makes perfect sense. Like, I'm in Thompson and Şengün are irreplaceable guys. Like, you're not going to – like, not, they're irreplaceable at this moment right now, right? We're not talking about bringing in a 4-5 that's going to replace Şengün. Like, you need that guy, right? The one that you could see replacing, given the names that are being mentioned, the superstar names that are being mentioned available, it's Van Vliet and Jalen Green.
Yeah. Because, like, I'm seeing people come up here. Let me ask yourself this, honest to goodness. Do you think Jalen Green is ever going to be as good as De'Aaron Fox? Like, are you out there, do you believe, because someone texted in, they've got the dudes, you got to give them time. Do you think he's ever going to be as good as De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, I don't know. I ain't got it.
I don't. I think Jalen is really good. He's growing. He had a hell of a month. But again, just like he had a hell of a start of the month, and now the back end, it's kind of going up.
Well, like CJ Stroud had a hell of a year, and then back.
Yeah, I just like I mean, but this is like to me, it's just woo. I can't do that. Somebody Jabari Smith. Okay, that's cool, man. These are guys that are just like you got a chance to get a guy that over the next 5, 7, 8 years going to be one of the top backcourt players in the game to go along with what you got. Amen Thompson, I'm with you. There is no way in hell. No way. But that cat, I got to think about that. All right, if you missed it, there is some news, another interview, another offensive line or offensive coordinator that's a former offensive coordinator with great success that's going around. Will he be the next person? The Texans interview, we'll talk about that, and we relive a little bit of last night from that great game between the Rockets and the Celtics. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.